Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the being in us, around us, talking to us, helping us to learn more about you and the Word. We thank you, Father, for all the work that's going to be brought together before we even need it. Thank you, Lord, that when we do need it, it's going to be there. We're not going to be anxious about anything. We're not going to fear anything because we know you're with us. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in all of us. And Lord, just be with us tonight. Guide us and lead us into the things you'd have us to talk about. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, put everybody on here that you want on here. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we've got a lot to pray about tonight. Just put it in our remembrance to remember what to pray for. And we praise you and thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and pray and play the praise song. All right. Hopefully people will come in as I'm doing it because it's a very good song. Y'all know it. I can remember how to do this. Oh, yeah. Here we go. I don't know what you're doing, Missy, but quit beating on yourself. All right, here we go.
Might as well put your hands together. Control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back, 'cause this means war.
I bleed.
Now I need to unmute myself. Oh, that's a good one to start out with, isn't it? Glory to God. I love that song. Hey, Andrew. I thought you were sleeping there for a minute. All right. I just have a little bit of a delay, I guess. No more, in Jesus' name. Okay. Has anybody got anything that they want to pray about? I have something later on, but it's not personal. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I saw a thing on CBN that
Don't bring it up. I'm gonna show the whole clip here in a minute.
okay.
Yeah. That's okay. That's all right. That's all right. I'm glad you brought it up, though. That's something we're going to pray about here shortly. Now, David and I prayed about it earlier, and I'll tell you about it as soon as we look at it. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I want to pray for Debbie made a request just a while ago
Okay.
for her older sister Diane, who lives in Missouri. I'm sure that everybody's seen it or whatever was on the Signal. But anyway, you know what? I'll read it real quick. Just Diane, who received this text from one of my sisters about our older sister Diane, who lives in Missouri, suddenly began having trouble breathing. My other sister Cindy, who lives with Diane, called the ambulance after I got there, and the paramedics saw Diane and they were concerned and are taking her to the hospital in Cape Girardeau. Never heard of that.
Dorado, Cape Dorado.
Dorado? Okay. They told Cindy that she could follow behind them. Cindy said that after the paramedics got in the ambulance and seemed ready to take off, suddenly one of the paramedics yelled out to her, "We have to go now!" Exclamation point. Cape is an hour away. Thank you for your prayers for my sister Diane. She is a born again but does not believe in the baptism of the Spirit. But always talks about the Lord. I'm going to stop it right there, and you guys can read it on Signal if you want. In the name of Jesus, we just bind that whatever that's happening with Diane right now. We bind that spirit that is inducing that. We cast it down right now in the name of Jesus. We claim the blood of Christ over Diane right now, and we also trust and claim for the healing of the Lord Jesus and the stripes that he bore for her. We claim that right now in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that is opposing her and opposing this work of healing in her right now. In Jesus' name, we command it to go, and we command that healing to take place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for complete healing in her sister. What was her name? Diane? Yeah. Thank you,
Diane,
Lord.
yes, thank you very much, Pat. Thank you for your
Amen.
prayers. I haven't heard anything else.
Okay. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you that Diane is healed. I thank you, Lord, that Fred is healed. I thank you, Lord, that all that we have prayed about today has been answered. And we're not worried about it. We know it's happening even as we speak. That ever if we're praying for ourselves, we know that the cells are working right now to root out the problem. And we thank you, Father, we're all healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus and the stripes on his back. He went to the cross for us so we wouldn't have to. And we thank you, Father, for taking all sickness, infirmities, and things that have hindered our walk. And we praise you, Father, that we are healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right, has anybody else got a prayer? Well, I have something I want to share that we can pray about. It's really important. And I'll tell you after we look at it what David and I prayed so you can believe with us if you don't mind. Okay, let's see here. Just a minute. All right, just a second. Oh gosh, I closed it out. Dadgummit.
Hey Michael,
Yeah.
if you on your bottom panel there with all your little icons,
Yeah.
so you have the Windows icon, the search icon, and then that little other doohickey there in your task view. Task view will show all your windows that you have open.
Well, I don't have it open now. I closed out the whole thing when I got through out of the
Oh.
share. That's
Oh,
why.
okay. Okay.
What was the name of that thing, Missy? I ran.
You can
Is it
go
in
in
your
your
history?
history and find it.
In your history, it should be in your history, Michael.
Yeah.
I did
YouTube
look in it.
history.
It's not there. Because I.
You want me to
Just,
find it?
no, I just want somebody to tell me the title of it. I'm in YouTube. All I got to do is put the title in it and it'll come up.
Okay, hold on. This is a massacre. Iran executing hundreds.
A brutal crackdown is taking place.
Okay, I found it. All right. Thank you. That was what I needed. I need a lot more than that, but that'll have to work. Okay, let's see.
Including mass executions and political arrests. This time, it's not hidden. A former war crimes prosecutor is sounding the alarm to warn the world of an unfolding massacre happening in plain sight. CBN's George Thomas has the details.
Stephen Rapp, former U.S. ambassador at large in the Office of Global Criminal Justice, tells CBN News the Iranian regime isn't just cracking down with arrests or beatings, it's using executions to silence dissent, with the numbers rising fast after the recent war with Israel.
There are thousands of political prisoners, and they could charge them with these phony charges and begin mass executions. Really judicial murders of peaceful opponents.
In 2023, Iran executed more than 850 people. A year later, that number jumped to 975. And now, just 8 months into 2025, over 700 executions have already been recorded.
The Islamic Republic continues to be the leading state sponsor of executions, second to the Chinese Communist Party.
Among those put to death, three Kurdish men and a top nuclear scientist accused of collaborating with Israel.
The regime fears its people more than a potential external attack because ultimately, in their perspective, they can absorb any attack on their military installations. However, if the discontent internally were to expand and lead to nationwide unrest as it has in the past, it would really be the key catalyst for regime collapse.
Others sentenced to death are charged with vague offenses like, quote, enmity against God.
What I fear is instead of 1,000 a year, we could end up with literally tens of thousands being executed.
People are being rounded up all over the place. People are being stopped in the streets and told to hand over their cell phones while they check messaging history, photos taken, phone calls made, websites visited. I mean, it's just blanket across the board. Cars are being stopped and checked. Homes are being raided. No one is safe.
And it's not only political activists being targeted.
As the internal crackdowns expand and intensify, the religious minorities tend to be on the front lines of this repression apparatus.
Just last month, 21 Iranian Christians were arrested in these six cities. Officials accused them of spreading Zionist Christianity and, quote, acting against national security.
Those two things are the classic accusations for Christians when they get arrested and charged with something. Of course, the government just wants to stop the spread of Christianity in Iran, but this is amplified now because they are paranoid.
Days after the Israel-Iran ceasefire, the regime's state-run Fars News agency, which is tied to the Revolutionary Guard, openly called for a repeat of the 1988 massacre when 30,000 political prisoners were secretly executed.
They got away with murder, mass murder in 1988. They think they can get away with it again.
As executions mount and repression deepens, human rights advocates warn the almost worldwide silence only enables the regime's growing brutality.
As long as the international community, the United States and Europe particularly, do not speak up against these heinous crimes, the regime therefore doesn't feel any obligation to scale back its internal repression.
George Thomas, CBN News.
And CBN News will not be silent and continue to cover this. Gordon?
We will let our voices be heard on behalf of the Christians in Iran and again, on behalf of those who protest this horrible government. Just imagine a government saying, we're going to repeat a massacre where 30,000 political opponents were executed, that they're proud of that, that they want to use that. The regime itself is a weapon of mass destruction. We talk a lot about their acquisition of a nuclear weapon and what would happen to Tel Aviv if they ever got one. But the regime itself, this ideology of hatred, that there are little Satans and great Satans and we're here on behalf of the cause of Islam, and we want to stand against the infidels and all of that. It's all hate speech. And I don't understand our own politics on this. You know, why progressives, so-called progressives, would want to support this. Can you imagine being a woman in Iran and you're subject to being beaten by the religious police because your scarf isn't tied right? It's absolutely unimaginable. This is horrific. I wish we had taken out that government. I know that's really hard to say, and I'll probably be criticized for it, but they are absolute evil. And they've been evil against their own citizens for decades, and they've exported that evil to Iraq and to Lebanon. They've tried to take out Israel several times. They launch missiles. They've had these ballistic missiles. They're supplying Russia with drones. All of these horrible things are going on, all because of an ideology at the top. That ideology has to change for there ever to be peace in the Middle East.
That's what's going on in Iran. It's not something that just started either. That's been going on for quite some time. Well, Lord, I just thank you for bringing down this leadership, this instigating all of this killing of innocent people. And we thank you, Father, for cleaning house up there and whatever has to happen in order to let the citizens of Iran be safe in their own country. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you that your angels are over there now doing the thing, doing the work that would change the whole government and turn them around to a loving their people type of government. They're paranoid because they know that if the people rise up against them, there's nothing they can do. And Lord, we thank you for doing whatever it takes to get these murderers out of office. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a change in that country here shortly. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for answering David and I's prayers earlier. And we praise you for it, Father, that we will see a regime change here shortly. Not one from Muslim to Muslim, but one from a non-Muslim to a Muslim to a non-Muslim. Lord, if you have to, and that's the way we'd like to, Lord. The people of Iran, Lord, I remember years ago, they were doing a lot of interviews with the public there in Iran, and they just love Americans. They love Europeans. They don't care anything about being caught up in a religion that promotes hate and hatred. And Father, we thank you for changing everything over there in that great and wonderful country, or used to be. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Trying to think of the king of Iran, the next ruler is Ravi something or other. And hopefully, Lord, you can get him in there. He's got a lot better outlook for Iran without all of the religious garbage that's going on, the so-called religious garbage that's going on there, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for Iran, the country of Iran. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Pat.
Father, we thank you that even in this time of persecution, Lord, you are sovereign over this whole mess. We thank you, Lord, that you've are pouring out your Holy Spirit in these days, and I thank you for the rise up of Christians there and strengthening them and empowering them to walk in the light of your word and the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will lift up a standard against them. And we thank you. We pray for our brothers and sisters there in Iran, Lord, that you would strengthen them, give them grace to pray, to walk with you, take hold of the spiritual resources that you've given us in the heavenlies and pull these strongholds down in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. We stand with our brothers and sisters there, Lord. We lock arm in arm, and we praise you, Lord, that you are greater in them, in us, than this horrific a challenge in the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you are within them. You are strengthening them. You are bringing forth your spirit, your truth within them, Lord. And we bind those spirits that are binding the leadership of Iran now in Jesus' name. We bind those spirits, and we look, Lord, that you would penetrate hearts and bring alive conviction in the hearts of those, even those in the leadership in that country, Lord, that you would start to crack the darkness of hate and deception, that you would open up their conscience, that you would bring to light the truth in their eyes and in their ears and in their seeing, Lord, that you would show them that what they are doing is evil. It is evil, and you Lord, we trust you that you're able to bring forth this truth in them, that even in the midst of their anger and striking out and Lord, that you would bring fear into their hearts, that they would see that the leadership there is in fear themselves, or in fear of losing control. But Lord, you are in control of this situation. We trust you. We thank you that, Lord, you have supplied the angelic forces there to pull down these strongholds, and we just thank you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, that the strongholds are coming down. We thank you that you've given us the authority to bind these forces on the earth, and that they are bound in heaven according to your word. And we thank you, Lord. We just ask you to cover Iran in the blood of Jesus Christ, and lift up Jesus in the eyes of that society. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the revival that you are bringing even now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Lord, we thank you for victory in that country in the next day or so. Go ahead, Julie.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are directing us and instructing us to cast down the dragon and take its head off. And we know that you gave us authority over all the powers and principalities. So we send forth the angels to do war against these powers and principalities over Iran that are causing these problems and this murdering spirit, this Antichrist spirit, this hatred for humanity, this control, manipulation, this tyranny that's ruling over there. In Jesus' name, we command the head of the dragon to be cast off this particular area in Jesus' name and bring it down. And we send forth the angels, Lord, to scatter and rout the enemy. We speak confusion into the leadership, into their midst. We speak failure to all of their evil plans and schemes to continue these massacre, these beheadings, these deaths, however they're choosing to do this, and all the harassment that they're attacking the residents there, the people of this country. We forbid all that in the name of Jesus, and these people can live in freedom. And I thank you, Lord God, you're awesome God, and you deliver us when we call on your name. And I thank you, Lord, in agreement with prayer with Pat there, Lord, that they are turning to you with all of their heart. They are seeking you and calling on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, Lord. And you're our deliverer, you're their deliverer, and we, our help comes from you, Lord. And you are our deliverer, and you are mercifully interceding for them, Lord. And they are learning to pray even more, and their cries of their heart and their desperation for help, God, that you hear those cries and you come down quickly, just like you did for David many times in the scriptures. Psalm 18. It's like you, the Lord thundered in the heaven, the Most High uttered his voice with hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent forth his arrows and scattered them, yea, lightnings and manifold and just confit them. So Lord, that's what we're telling them, the angels, to do right now. Just confit the enemy, turn them against each other, deliver them, Lord, from their strong enemies and all them that hate them, because they're too mighty in the natural for them. And I thank you, Lord, for giving of making a way of deliverance, that the angels are even intervening, Lord, and delivering people out of harm's way when they're coming for them, and that you would make known to them by the Spirit, the people of Iran, the Christians there, Lord, that there's an entrapment or whatever, and give them dreams and visions to warn them that these things are going to happen, and to not go this way or not go that way. And however you move in them, Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and draw them to safety, Lord, and bring down this wicked. We thank you, Lord, it's done. We thank you, Lord, for bringing down this wicked government and turning things around there, Lord, for our brothers and sisters there, Father. And we thank you for doing a great and mighty thing beyond what we can ask or think, as we pray in the Spirit for them, your perfect plans, Lord, your perfect purposes to be done and fulfilled for each and every person there, God. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, Debbie. Seated.
Okay, yes. Do you remember, Michael, several, well, I know, quite a few years ago when our friend from Iran came and we were meeting at David's house at your, where you're at now, the house there in the mornings. Our friend from Iran came and visited a while. Do you remember him, Val? His name is Val. It's probably about 8 years ago.
Of course I do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, he's a, you know, believer. And so I just wanted to pray for, there's probably many Iranians who have, you know, come to this country, believers, and they have their either not believing families or believing families there. So I just want to pray for those people that are from Iran that are here and are hearing this news, especially for the believers. So Lord, I just pray for them, God, lift them up to you, Lord, that you would just give them such hearts full of prayer and faith as they pray for their family members, Father. Thank you, God, that they will not fear and be overtaken with fear, Lord God, that they will not be able to pray. I just pray that you would just be with them, God, as they pray for their families, God, that you would give them the words to pray, Lord God, at this bold faith, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer those prayers for them. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Give them all peace, those who are here and have family members over there, knowing all this is going on, Lord, and hiding and whatever they're wanting to do to try not to be killed, Lord. I just pray that you'll just give them all wisdom and just anoint the prayers of the family members here, Lord, for their families there. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can you imagine what it would be like to be stopped by one of these people and you've been talking to your mother or your dad or your brother on the phone in the United States? What's that, Matt? Okay. It would be, you know, it would be horrendous.
Yes.
They'd kill the whole family. These idiots. But I'm just believing that the Lord's going to bring him down this day. That's what we pray. This day, bring him down. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for a complete regime change. And not only that, Lord, to take care of these people so they don't ever come back into power again. And we praise you for it, Father, in Iran. They're killing Christians. They're killing their own people just because they're, like the lady said, they're paranoid. They see it slipping from them or trying to slip from them. And when they do that, they're dangerous. And, Lord, we thank you for taking care of this danger in Jesus' name. Amen. And, Lord, we thank you for protecting that guy that Debbie's talking about there, too. Is he still in the U.S., Debbie? Do you know?
Yes, he's still in the U.S.
Okay. How do you get here?
Well, he got here. He skipped. He was in the service. And they were out. I don't know how, but somehow he got off. He jumped ship somehow. When
yeah,
they're in
I
the
remember
States.
Now.
Yeah, and so
I
that's
remember.
How he got here.
Yeah.
He was in prison and all that stuff for some.
He's AWOL.
That name, well, I don't know. I guess it would be from there. Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I guess
absent
so.
Without leave.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Praise God. He's got a testimony.
He was in prison somehow, though, for a little while here. Anyway. Yeah, he does
all
it.
All right,
quite
Julie.
Amen.
Is he, Debbie, stay on? Is he like, so he's an illegal citizen here? He's an illegal immigrant? He's not a citizen here?
I don't know if he'd become a citizen or not.
He is a protect. He, if I remember correctly, he came in under harsh circumstances.
Yeah.
And they gave him a relief status for that type of, he couldn't go back to Iran, you know, they kill him.
Okay.
So they
Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around him that he won't be one of these people that they will identify as illegal alien and want to deport back to his home country in any way. We just pray, Lord, that that would be whatever protection he was allotted here because he defected his country because of danger or whatever, that that would be honored And he's not going to get harassed about that and be deported, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah, refugee status. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you that he won't go back until you've got this regime changed out of there and everything will be safe for him and his family. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. These Iranians are actually great people. They're good people. They love the Americans. I've heard that many, many times from people. And Lord, we thank you that you will set those people free from this crazy, mixed up people. And we thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Joe.
Blessing God.
Amen. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to pray for? Lord, I thank you for cleaning up Washington, D.C. with the National Guard and the military. And we thank you for it. Is that Brandy? That's Brandy. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Missy.
A big problem with that is there's, you know, juveniles committing crimes and they just let them go and they have no fear because they know they're going to let them go and so on and so forth. And I just like to pray for, send workers into the harvest, you know, to preach the gospel to these young kids and their families, you know, these, you know, and because that's the real solution, the Lord. You know, yeah, the laws need to be enforced, but so Lord, we just pray that you would just bring, we know you're bringing revival, but we pray specifically for that area right now, DC, and that the fear of God be put in everyone, especially the kids, Lord, the teenagers, the kids, Lord, they are so, they have no direction nowadays. So many are confused about the world that we live in, and they don't even know, they have no hype, no hope in anything good. And I think they're just so discouraged, you know, and so much confusion. And Lord, we just pray that you would break up the fallow ground their hearts, sore from their hearts, give them eyes to see and ears to hear, and to repent and believe in you. Those among them that are your elect, Lord, bring people to preach the gospel to them, Lord. The true gospel, the real gospel. And we thank you for bringing a great revival, not just in D.C., to the young people. We've heard that there's going to be a great move of your spirit amongst the young people. And we just look forward to that, Lord. And we just know that it's definitely going to happen. And we just believe that it's happening now, and it's going to be in a mightier way when you pour out your spirit, Lord, that they would hear the true gospel and that they would be the spirits of delusion and spirits of lying spirits and just hopelessness be gone from them in the name of Jesus. And that they would know, Father, that you love them. I think many of them have been, you know, don't have proper parenting, Lord. You bring people to them that will love them and save their parents too, Lord. And those that only have one parent, Lord, bring a parent, Lord, that bring someone for them that can be a parent to them that is a godly, God-fearing, born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and to lead them and guide them, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Julie.
I read today on one of the news articles that I, anyhow, that there was an apparent, possible, there was a planned assassin attack on Trump and or Putin in Alaska. That's supposed to be taking place here in 5 days. This was on RRN. And so anyhow, they got the special operations military, they got information on this, that there was a Ukrainian assassin that had been, they found him and they were going to take him down, but they ended up killing him. This happened on Sunday. And so they don't know exactly any details, but they, you know, they track him, they watch him, they scope him out for a while and to see if there was anybody else, if he was acting by himself. But he was a skilled, notorious assassin. And he was in Alaska, and apparently there was supposed to be some secret meeting between Putin and Trump. And so they took the guy out. So we just thank you, Lord, that that happened, that they didn't get through to complete this this attack. And I thank you, Lord, that all the plans of the enemy, of the deep state, will be found out in advance, well in advance, and that there's always a hedge of protection around President Trump and Putin. Lord, wherever they go and any meetings that they have planned, Lord, that it is in utmost confidence, and that whoever is letting out this information and that this was a known meeting and they had planned all this, Lord, that that be exposed, who these traitors are, who these spies in the camp are, all of them, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for fleshing out the enemy and making them known, and that every plan, scheme, and device for death on the alliance, well, the whole the nation of the alliance, all these leaders, Lord, that they are completely protected from these murderers. In Jesus' name, we bless them, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the angels that are constantly guarding and protecting President Trump, his family, his cabinet, all the people who are working with him on and the positions that they have to bring down the deep state and to do their jobs and to do it and be successful at everything that they're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just read some of it. Thank you, Father. They don't know who he came to assassin. Probably both Putin and Trump.
Well, that would be my guess, yeah. But probably Trump. Who knows? Maybe both, yeah.
Well, what was interesting about that article, the first thing I read in there, that Putin called Trump and told him about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that. Putin and Trump are friends, and they're going to remain that way, Lord. They don't want anything but peace in the world and the pedos caught and done away with. Thank you, Father. And the labs cleaned out, the adrenochrome labs, they want to clean that out, too. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask that you go out and send the angels out. I'll send the angels out there. We've already done this today. We thank you, Lord, for the angels out there finding every one of these pedos that are trafficking children and utilizing them as organ harvest and also for adrenochrome stuff. And Father, we thank you for taking care of them, getting them out of there, getting the kids out of there safely, removing the horrific stuff that they've had to go through. And we thank you, Father, for completely healing them and bringing them back to mommy and daddy, if the mommy and daddy is okay. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Pat.
And Father, we thank you, Lord, for exposing and bringing to light the evil of this deep state system that is utilizing these trafficked children for purposes of bribery and polluting and capturing the leaders of the world and the leaders of media and the leaders of news organizations and companies and all of these things. We thank you, Lord, that you are bringing that, you're exposing that to the American people and to the world that this system is in existence, Lord. And we thank you for bringing it down. We just trust you for that. We thank you, Lord. And we also thank you for the covering that you have over President Trump and President Putin in this time and in the place where they're meeting, Lord, that you encamp around them. And Lord, I know that you put a certain amount of fear in President Trump's life. That when that bullet whizzed by his ear and you had him on the ground speaking to him at that time. And I just thank you, Lord. I ask you just to embolden the strength and embolden faith in him to stand in confidence that you are his deliverer, that you are that you surround him, Lord. You said as that scripture in Psalm that put in the chat, Lord, that the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. And Lord, we just thank you that you put a fear in President Trump. And I believe that you have a fear in some form in Putin and that you're going to bring good out of this meeting and that you're going to bring healing out of this meeting for the nations, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you are their refuge, that you are bringing them in close friendship, but you're also eliminating a main source of anger of the deep state needing an enemy, a constant enemy to be able to attack and to be able to stir the media up. And they need an enemy in order to create wars. And so, Lord, you are bringing that thing down. You're bringing that whole system down. And we just thank you for it. We bind those spirits. We command that their financial resources be dissolved, be removed from them, that the Soroses of the world in all the various different categories in this world system that think they are above the laws, the constitutions, and they function as international citizens, so to speak, and do not even consider the laws of the nations. We pull them down, we cast them down, we cast their thoughts down, their lies and their deception. We expose that lie and we pull it down in Jesus' name. We dissolve their financial resources and bring it to naught. And we thank you, Lord, that you are greater in us. You're greater in righteousness, to bring forth righteousness in the world today, and that the devil is on the run. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Tiana is right now. All right. Let's see if I can do this. All right, somebody talk a minute while I help Tiana get on.
Can I play a song?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Let me get you ready here.
All right, and then you might want to mute yourself so when you talk to her or whatever. Okay.
You don't want to hear me singing?
No, not really. Well, I mean, no, yeah, of course I do.
I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire. And standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious. They held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb.
Hi, Tiana.
Where'd Michael go? Hey, Tiana.
Hi, Tiana. Good to see you.
Where's everybody else?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sorry, Samuel's just put this like microphone blocker and sometimes it doesn't turn on and turns off. And Samuel's just on a Zoom call with some physiotherapist thing, something like that. Yeah.
All right, good to have you. down under. Lord, they got to be on top before too much longer. Thank you, Jesus. You come out from that hole and come on up here in God's country. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Matthew, go ahead. Or Anna.
It's me, Michael. I just had to
Okay.
say hi, Tiana. We love you guys. it's so
Yeah.
good to see you. It's dark in here because the baby's sleeping, or I turn on their thing so you can see me, but hi.
She's waving at you. Amen. It's good to have you back. Yeah, we love y'all so much. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else they want to talk about, pray about? Or a testimony? I got a testimony. I was watching on the infamous YouTube the other yesterday, or it might have been this morning, or is this morning. I showed some of you saw it. I think Julie and Debbie and Missy and Matt saw it. But I played it, and it was about T.L. Lowry. And T.L. Lowry was going to have a tent revival at this city. And this husband and wife and six-year-old son, they had a six-year-old son who was very sick and was taking medication for, I don't even know what it was. I don't even know if he said. But anyway, the husband was kind of a drinker. And anyway, one of his good buddies talked him into going to this revival. So he said, okay, I'll go. So he got home and got his wife and six-year-old kid, and they all went to the revival. And just so happens that they were late getting there. And how many of you, and this guy was talking about it, he said, how many of you know that when you're late, you have to sit in the front? Always have to sit in the front because nobody wants to sit in the front. Anyway, they were sitting in the front. They were three rows back. And T.L. Lowry gets up there and he says this. He says, now, if anybody out there needs healing, said, come on up right now. I said, God is going to heal you tonight. And man just went into it. And that little six-year-old boy perked up. He said, bless God, I'm going up there. And off he went. Tooling off to the front, which wasn't but three or four steps away. He got up there and he got prayed for, and he come back, and mom and daddy and they all, after the thing, they went home, and the next morning, mama got up to give that little kid his medicine. She said, son, went in and woke him up, said, son, where's your medicine? He said, mama, I threw it in the toilet because God healed me last night. Six-year-old kid had more faith than most adults do. And he said, I'm healed. Bless God, I don't need that medicine anymore. And God healed him, took him to the doctor. Daddy said, all right, we're going to find out about this. Took him to the doctor. The doctor come back scratching his head. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, yesterday, he had all this stuff wrong with him. And today, there is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with this child. Glory be to God. A six-year-old kid. Praise God. And that's the way God wants us to be. To believe that God has healed us. Praise God forevermore. Woohoo! I remember him too. I remember those tent revivals he used to have. I thought at first they might have been talking about T.L. Osborne, but it was T.L. Lowry. Here's another guy. All right. Anybody else? I gave mine tonight. True story. Yeah, Tiana.
This one's not like as amazing as that one. But the other night I was in the bath with the children, and David, we haven't like ever spoken like this before, and I'm just paraphrasing what he said, but he said that he saw Jesus standing at the door. And I mean, it was kind of actually really freaking me out, because I was like, oh, like what is it you see? Like describe to me. And he said, yeah, Jesus is just standing there, and he's like, hi, Jesus, like at the door. And it actually freaked me out a little bit, because I couldn't see anything. So I was a little freaked out, and I was like,
Oh, wow.
what's he look like? I was like, what's he look like? And he said he saw white hair. And then he said, I asked about like the skin color, and he started saying all these different colors, and like as if it was like rainbow coming from him. He said like all the different colors and rainbow, and I was like, what's he doing there? And then David's like, he's just doing his job. And David's never said anything like this before. Like he's never spoken a sentence like that in that type of way about that thing. So it was really freaking me out, because to never hear David really speak like that at all. It's just really, really, really cool and interesting. I really like that.
So he said Jesus is doing his job.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I asked him another question. It was why is he actually here? Like, why do you see him? And he goes, David's like, I want him here. And David's never said that before. So it was really freaky a little bit, because
Okay.
we think David might have a little autism or something, because he's
No, I
seems like he
don't.
really struggles. Yeah, you're right, he doesn't.
Nope, we don't confess that. That boy is fine. If he could see Jesus and talk about Jesus, there ain't nothing wrong with that boy. He's healed in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Whoo, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Tiana, I don't know if you were, I don't think you were here when Jesus visited us in the meeting on fellowship night. I don't, you ever hear that? Anyway, we had a fellowship one Monday night, I believe it was, and I saw Jesus coming up out the floor like it was a entryway. And he was coming up out the floor, and he got up there, and he said, David was sitting down. Now, this is while enemy camp's going on. David's sitting down. You ain't supposed to sit down when the enemy camp's going on. That's just against the law. Anyway, the Lord comes out, and he looks at me, and he said, tell David to stand up. I said, okay, yes, sir, I will. So I went over, and I told David, I said, David, the Lord said for you to get up out that chair now. So he stood up. He said, where is he? I said, he's right in front of you. And he went, and the Lord went over there and gave him a big old hug. Gave him a great big old hug. And he stepped back and he said, now tell David to dance with me. I said, David, the Lord said for you to dance with me. He looked at me. He looked out there. So he went to boogieing with the enemy's camp, you know. He did, and he just got to dancing with the kids, and remember that, Barb, Debbie? He got to dancing, and then let's see, he went back. He actually stayed the whole thing, whole time there. It was awesome. And
At the time when he looked at you, Michael, when he was walking sideways or something, and he looked over at you. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
no, I don't.
What
He was coming.
Julie
He was
remembers?
coming
It
straight
was
at
your
me.
story. Was that the same time when Jesus was looking at you, and he waved at you like,
Oh
"Hi,
no, that was a
Michael."
different time. That was a different time.
Wanted
Yeah,
you to wave back in front of everybody. You know, right? Okay, different time.
he was sitting up on his chair, and he says, I see you, Michael. Something funny like that, you know. I said, I see you too, Lord. It was I don't remember a whole lot about that. It was a quick vision for what it was. But Jesus been of our meetings a lot of times. Debbie probably seen him too, I think. Ain't
I
you,
think there was
Debbie?
a time when you saw him walking in the door, Michael. You saw him come in the door and just join our meeting.
Oh
Remember that
yeah,
one?
he came in the door over there where Winnie is. Come in that way. Thank you,
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, and a lot of times he'll just come in and sit over there between where oh gosh, who used to sit over there that factioned out?
Lana,
No,
Elena.
no, no, no. Oh yeah, David.
Sat back there with us and
Yeah,
David.
yeah. I'd come in here. He'd come in there, set his chair down, and sit down in the chair, and he'd just join in with us a lot of times. And of course, we've seen angels a lot in there, a lot of angels. Oh my, yeah, Julie.
Well, scripturally, he's here in the midst of us now. Wherever two or more are gathered in
Yeah.
his name, he's here in the midst of us. So we know he's here
Amen.
right now. Thank you,
Yeah, he's
Jesus.
here
We
with
know you're right
us.
here.
He's
He's
here
sitting
with
right here next
us.
to me. You see him, right?
Okay. Well, no, he's sitting right here. That Missy says he's over there.
Yeah, he's right next to each and every one of us. He's in us, too.
He
He's right.
is. He's in us. That's right. And it's not that any of us are any more special than any other person because you see him. It's just the Lord chooses, somebody to show him. It might liable to be Shalonda, Debbie. Who else? Debbie just sees those things. Shay and I think
Yeah,
Angelica's
she
seen him a couple of times.
okay.
And let's see, Anna. Does Anna see him? She has a lot of good dreams. But
She has
anyway,
very good dreams.
yeah, it's a lot of fun. But that night, I'll never will forget that night. He come up, he told me, he said, "Get David up off his feet. I mean, off his chair." To make him stand up, for he said, make him stand up. So I went on and said, Lord, said, if you get up out that chair, boy, right now. He got, so I said, he's coming over here. He's coming over here. So he got up. He stood there like he's supposed to. And the Lord just came over and gave him a great big hug. I never will forget that. That was awesome. Gave him a hug and he said, now, he stepped back and he said, now I tell David, I want him to dance with me. I said, I'd love to. I'd love to. David's quite reserved, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Missy.
A verse came to me. I knew it was in John 17, but I didn't know exactly where it was. But 17:23, when you're talking about, Lord loving us, says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me and loved them even as thou loved me. He loves us just as much
What was that
as
psalm you
Jesus.
said?
It was John
Oh, John.
17:23.
Okay. Okay. All right.
John
Yeah, I thought
17,
that's what it was.
23. That blows my mind. Well, but I realize that it's the Jesus in us that he loves, because we're all part of his body. So
Amen.
it's Jesus in us that he loves. He loves us just as much as him because it's Jesus in us. We're in his, we have Thank you, Lord, that we have your nature, character, and authority. Your name,
Amen.
Lord.
Oh,
Thank
now
you, Lord.
I remember, Debbie, the time that you're talking about. It was when he was trying to get me to mess up. He was trying to get me to laugh. Remember, he was sitting up there and he kept going like this. He wasn't saying anything. He was just going like this. Then he finally said, "Hi, Michael." And we were doing prayers or something, and we couldn't, I couldn't, I could, oof. I can't say nothing, Lord. We're in the prayer now. And he was trying to get, he's
He was
always
messing
trying.
with you.
He was messing with me. He was. And I laughed. He laughed too.
So cool.
He likes to cut up too now. When I say cut up, I mean he likes to joke around too. The Lord does. He's not just up there sober all the time. I mean, let me ask you a question. What would you think if Jesus came up and wanted to dance with you to the enemy's camp? You know? Yeah. Yeah, Missy. But what do you think what a non-denominational Christian would do if the Lord did something like that? Well, that ain't the Lord. That can't be the Lord. Lord wouldn't do that. No. I ain't. That ain't can't. That's blasphemy. But God is so at home with his people. Jesus is so at home with his people. He loves to be around us. Hey, Vanita. She said, hi, Tiana. Amen.
Hi everyone. Sorry, I just jumped on. Can I
Amen.
ask for prayer quickly, Michael?
Yes.
Oh boy, what an evening. My goodness, I was getting ready to get on and Frank went into the laundry room. He never does that. But he went in the laundry room and the washing machine was just overflowing with water, just water everywhere. And that was all over in the basement, all over everything. So we had a big flood over here, so of course, I'm just laughing about it because it needed to be cleaned up and I would have had to do it myself. But Frank got to help me do it. So I have to
Praise
praise the
God.
Lord for that. But it's, boy, there's been trials, that's for sure. It's just been, we had gone up to the car, sh up to an antique, tractor show a couple weeks ago, and we were going to take the van and sleep in the van. Well, the van broke down again, so that's being repaired again, so we couldn't take that, and Nick insisted on going, so we took the tent. 90 degrees, maybe more than that, all day long in the hot sun. Frank was not doing well, so he had one of his little episodes, and then Nick went and there's a big flea market. So Nick went down to the flea market and found this really nice knife he liked, $200. I'm like, what? A $200 knife? So that was a heart-wrenching. The guy was so sweet. He gave us the money back. Praise the Lord. So that was a blessing. And then I threw the ball for Finnegan and he got stuck on a fence post and got a big tear in his side. So it was a rough weekend. It was a rough weekend. And of course, there's the tent, and then there's Frank in the air-conditioned car relaxing, and Nick's out shopping still. And so I had to tear everything down myself and put everything away. It was so hot and I was so tired. I was so glad to be home. But we overcame. Lord, we overcame that weekend. We
Amen.
overcame all those trials. And they continue on this week, and this last one is just another one. Frank's like, can anything else break? I'm like, don't ask. Just don't say that. So we've we're overcoming over here. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, we'll just break the curse off of them right now in the name of Jesus that they're going to have a wonderful time the rest of the time they're out and about. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that they're going to get home and just laugh about everything that's happened. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I've had those kind of days.
Yeah.
All right. How's Nick doing?
He's good. He got a new friend and she's really sweet. She's,
Okay.
she's like, I think she's 20 and she used to work with him at Beaky's, and she's just a really sweet, just a friend, obviously. He doesn't really get into girlfriends and stuff like that, praise the Lord. So she just comes over and we have fun. She likes to cook, so it's kind of fun for me too. She likes to hang out with me just as much as him, so that's kind of
That's
nice.
awesome.
So
Awesome.
yeah, it's kind of fun.
Lord bless her. In Jesus' name. Does she have a family?
She does. She was adopted from Ukraine when she was
Oh.
6 years old. Yeah, and I have not actually met her mom and dad. She talks about them all the time. She's very close to them, and they go to church just down the street here. But she was getting away from stuff a little bit. She thought it was okay to vape and do, drink and do these things. I'm like, no, we don't do that kind of stuff. We're Christians. We obey the Lord. That's what we do. So you got to do that. So I'm just kind
Amen.
of helping guide her. She said she gave up vaping already, so praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
So that's exciting news.
Well,
I'm excited to meet her mom and dad because I'd really like to, just get the whole picture there.
amen. What happened to her parents over in the Ukraine?
She didn't say anything about it. She was, like I said, she was 6 years old when she was adopted,
Okay.
and brought here. And then she has a brother that was adopted also. So she was in like an orphanage before that. I
Oh,
don't
I
think she
gotcha.
knows. I don't know if she knows her parents. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lord, we thank you
So.
for being with her whole time here. Thank you, Father, for bringing her into the kingdom a mighty way into the kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for your love around about her. And your protection upon her, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, what's her name? Amen. Okay.
Amelia.
Oh, Amelia. Ooh,
No,
that's a good name.
Amelia. Yeah, Amelia. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Vinny, I just questioned. You said that Nick got a knife and it was $200, but he gave you some money back. What did he want the knife? What kind of knife is it?
He likes to collect like pocket knives. He uses them at work
Oh,
to open the
okay.
boxes when he's
Oh,
stocking. And so he had seen another knife there, and I gave him permission. We talked about it. I gave him permission to buy that one. And then he saw this one, and it's huge. I mean, it was in the shape of a wrench, but it was a really big wrench. And he just thought it was so cool. I think, though, to give him credit for some of that, I think he thought it was $20. He didn't
okay.
realize it was $200. He gets confused in
Okay.
that. And
Okay.
so, yeah, he felt, yeah. So,
Well, thank the Lord
phew.
for grace in that situation that Nick's a responsible guy and that he collects pocket knives. There's worse things. But thank you, Lord, that he knows how to use them and he uses them safely. And I just pray blessings and peace and your anointing on Benita and all the things that she's gone through here in the last few days with all the little trials, Lord, that she's
Amen.
counting it joy. And she has such a positive attitude about all this when she shares. I would just be like, I would, I think I would, I don't know if I'd handle it all so well with such humor, I guess, the way you look at it. But thank you, Lord, you work all things together for our good. And I thank you, Lord, that this whole thing with the van, there's always seems to be trials with their van, Lord. And it gives Nick and his dad a lot of work on practicing and doing things together. And we just bless him in the name of Jesus. And thank you for keeping that thing going and going. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Debbie. I was muted. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just got to thinking, maybe I should have waited a few to say. Anybody got another testimony or prayer request? I have a prayer request. It's kind of a testimony too, in a way. But there's a man around on Stinnett Ridge. I think I've shared it in our meetings before, the morning meetings, who has diabetes. He's going to get chicken eggs from. They have chickens, and we get eggs from them. Brandy gets them. I get them, and I think not as much as you anymore though. But anyway, he's a mechanic. Anyway, he has diabetes. His wife has a grooming. She's a groomer, dog groomer. It's the traveling dog groomer. She has a truck and everything. She pulls trailer. She pulls. But anyway, he has diabetes really bad, and so several weeks ago he had a surgery on his well, a few months ago he had a surgery on his foot, And they were just, he just, I was only hearing when I pick up eggs to talk to him a little bit. I only heard that he's having surgery on his foot. Found out that they took the toe off. And then he was getting about, he was laid up for a while. And she wasn't, didn't seem to be going to work, just being with him for a good time, good amount of time. And then he's healing up and he's outside. And I was taking a walk and saw him out in his garage. And I walked up in there to, and that's how he was doing. He said, oh, I'm doing good. And he said, I'm getting around really good now and everything. And so he went inside to give me some eggs, comes back out. And I start to walk away. And he says, oh, by the way, and I have prayed. I've let them know many times. I'm praying. I told him before, I'm praying for you. And I heard about his, anyway, he had a diabetes problem with his foot. He's bad sore in his foot for a long time. And I've told those family members I've seen out in the yard after he was in the hospital. I said, let him know I'm praying for him. And I said, I think it's more like we're praying for him. But anyway, so he knew that. So I started to walk away and he stopped me and he said, oh, by the way, I'm going to have another surgery on my foot. Never tells me exactly what, just another surgery on the foot. So I asked him if I could pray for him. And he let me pray for him. And I asked if I could lay my hand on his arm. He said, sure. So I did and prayed for him for that and everything. So I've really been praying and believing. I was praying that God would do something great with this, his foot, that it would just marvel the doctor. And so he had it done, whatever they did, I don't know yet. But I saw that his wife's truck wasn't there today. So I thought, whoa, I just believed he's not as bad off as last time. I've been praying that and believing that, that the Lord's just touched him and done doing something as I prayed a little on the miracle side, you know, something astounding, a little better than they expected it to be. So I'm just thanking you for that, Lord. I'm thanking you, Lord, that you're raising him up quickly, God. If he's not needing his wife there with him to help him with whatever it is, his bandagings and just getting around. And I just thank you, Father, that you've answered that prayer, Lord. And I just envision him realizing that, and her too, God, realizing that prayer has been answered, Lord, and you did a real touch on him, God. So I just thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray them into the kingdom, Lord. They're such a good people, Lord. Just they're such kind and good people, just always give and give from their stuff there, their place, Lord God. And I just pray, I know that you can use them for your kingdom in a mighty way. And so I just thank you for their salvation. I thank you for this foot healing up, and that it's going to do a mighty quick healing, and that will astound the doctors too, Lord, and that they would give the glory to you, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, I'll be able to hear about this soon, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Was this one of your neighbors?
Yes, his name is Tony. He's on Stinnett Ridge, that way, behind me, going behind, away from 411.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, we thank you. He's healed. In Jesus' name.
Yep. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
The last time we saw Alex, and also I know this is still an issue with his work. He told us that the guy that basically was, I don't know if he was his boss or just ran that department or whatever it is he does. He's a IT computer guy for a bank amongst others. But anyway, he had quit and went and got a job somewhere else. And Alex has only been working there maybe 8 months. I don't know. He hasn't been working there very long. Anyway, but he just expressed that they pretty much kind of put the job on him, you know, and I think it's a lot on him, and he mentioned about anxiety and just stress and stuff like that. So I just want to pray about that. Father, we just ask you for your mercy and grace upon Alex, and get somebody else in there to do the job that the other guy was doing. Lord, Alex is putting in a lot of hours, Lord, and he's getting salary, and you know how that goes. You know, they can take advantage of you know, in that kind of a situation, because you're not paid hour, you're just paid salary. And we're just I pray that he reads my text that I sent him just a couple minutes ago. Nothing be anxious, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and thoughts in Christ Jesus. So, and I told him that I've been praying that for that situation, and we were gonna go to see go for Blake's 5th birthday party a couple weekends ago, but we didn't because Merle wasn't feeling good. And then so we're gonna go this weekend, and he wasn't able to go then, and he's not able to go now because of his job. And sounds like, you know, he's not able to take even get a day off, you know, or whatever. So Father, we just ask you to quickly come through in this in a quick way, Lord, and then he'll know that it was you, Lord. Come through in this in a way, Lord, that he know that it was you on his side and working for him, Lord, and that you love him and you care for him, and that he seeks you out and desires to pray to you and ask you for answers, and that he would know that you have the answers and you are the answer, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that for Alex. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Anyone else? How many of you believe that we're fixing to go into some tough times? Everybody believe that? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Yeah, Pat.
Definitely getting ready.
Okay.
Can I share something that I saw a couple days ago?
Well, sure. Yeah, you go right ahead.
I woke up in the mo in the morning. It's a good time to wake up. Anyway. And these words were on my mind. I'm sneaking back over here to look at it. It was the power of the tongue, based on the power of the tongue, the power of words, and the power of the written word. And that was that. For whatever reason, it just like one of those things that, I woke up and it just popped into my mind. And so I just throw thoughts down and on paper, not on paper, but on my in my journal, I just throw my thoughts down and then I just trust the Lord's going to lead me somewhere. But I was, it came to me, the thought came to me, until a word is spoken, it does not exist. Or until a thought is spoken, it doesn't exist. And when that spoken word is written down, it is memorialized. And then as I got to pondering that, I got to ask a question just for kicks. And Everybody can answer except Missy. But, and she may be able to answer it as well. But
Long
when
story
I,
short.
long story short, what do you think of when you hear the word Gettysburg? I'm listening. What do you what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word Gettysburg?
Civil War.
How about Andrew?
Well, I don't know what Gettysburg is, but the first thing that came into my head was Gettysburg Address.
Julie, the same thing.
Yeah, address.
Yeah, Gettysburg Address.
Because I'm Canadian, so I don't even know what that is.
But that's it's really interesting that you would say that. But so, because and that's exactly what I think of when I see. What do you say, Missy, that I cut you out of the loop?
Well, the first thing I thought of was Civil War, like Michael said, and then I was thinking, what's the name of that speech that President Lincoln gave? Gettysburg Address, duh.
Right.
Anyway.
So I wanted to speak just a second on the power of words, because the Gettysburg Address, it is it's interesting, but in case Andrew and doesn't know our history, what happened in the Civil War, it was a battle that was fought in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It's probably 50 miles from where I'm living right now, maybe. I've no farther. Anyway, the point being, it was the turning point in the Civil War. And it was one of the bloodiest battles, and it was actually the turning point of the Civil War. There was around 3,000 soldiers on the Union side that died, and about 50,000 Confederates. So it was a bloody mess. But the point I wanted to bring about, because the first word that I heard that morning was, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And I think that's like in Zechariah or something like that. But I wanted to read something the basically just read that text and just mention a couple things that happened there. The text is very short, and this was the text of Lincoln's speech delivered at the dedication of the Soldiers' National Cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and this is his speech. By the way, he actually wrote this speech on the way to the meeting. He was riding on the train, and he scribbled it down on the paper that he was that he had with him. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world, now listen to this line. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they have fought here and have thus so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that is, from these honored dead. We take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Abraham Lincoln, 1863. Now, this is what the historians wrote about it. I'm just going to write a couple paragraphs. The historical and enduring significance and fame of the Gettysburg Address is at least partly attributed to its brevity. It has only 271 words and read in less than 2 minutes, of course, unless I'm reading it. Before approximately 15,000 people who had gathered to commemorate the sacrifice of the Union soldiers, over 3,000 of whom were killed during a 3-day battle. And then later on it says, despite the historical significance and fame that the speech ultimately obtained, Lincoln was scheduled to give only brief dedicatory remarks following the main oration given by the elder statesman Edward Everett. And so I ask right now, does anybody know who Edward Everett was? I didn't know. I'd never heard of him before. He was the main speaker, spoke about 2 hours in this thing. Thus, Lincoln's closing remarks consumed a very small fraction of the day's advance, which lasted for several hours. Nor was Lincoln's address immediately recognized as particularly significant. Over time, however, it became to be widely viewed as one of the greatest and most influential statements ever delivered on the American national purpose, and it came to be seen as one of the most prominent examples of the successful use of the English language and rhetoric to advance a political cause. The Gettysburg Address did not enter the broader American canon until decades after Lincoln's death following World War I, and the 1922 opening of the Lincoln Memorial, where the speech is etched in marble as the Gettysburg Address gained popularity. It became a staple of school textbooks and readers, and the succinctness of the three-paragraph oration permitted it to be memorized by generations of American school children, according to the History Channel, The point that the Lord was making to me at that time was, it was that short little, those little words that were spoken that now hung in history was the pivot point motivating the continuing on and the successful winning of the Civil War, and thus you know, culminated in the freeing of the slaves and that whole slavery thing being finally put to death, more or less. So just the thought that it started small, it was small, but it was so highly influential that we have it in our nation's capital right now, carved in marble. So I just thought, you know, it's, don't despise the day of small beginnings. I think it's in Zechariah or whatever, and that these prayers that we pray and these words that we speak, they come in existence when we speak them into existence. And even when we write these things down, they become even more powerful. So anyway, I just thought I would share that.
Well, that's an interesting history. I went through a number years and years ago, back in the 60s, a bunch of Civil War museums throughout Georgia, Tennessee, with my family, with mother and dad and brothers and sisters. And it was very interesting. They showed the whole battles, fields, and how they looked and all of that stuff. They had everything situated. And it's really an interesting. And I was always fascinated with the Civil War anyway because of does anybody here know why the Civil War started? That's not what you think. Go ahead, Pat.
I don't remember that, but it wasn't the issue of slavery, if I'm not mistaken. I'll let Missy.
All right, go ahead, Missy.
It was over states' rights.
Bingo. That's right.
Which slavery did kind of come into that. That was part of it. You know, each, the I think part of it was, okay, each state should have the right to say whether or not they have slaves or something. But it mainly was just states' rights. That was the big thing.
Yeah, what they were saying was that the federal government has no authority over state constitutions. And if the state constitution allowed something, then that's, you know, that should be not be contested. And that's the way the Constitution, as according to the Confederates, that's the way the Constitution read. It's all about states' rights. But as you know, people can interpret things and I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I'm saying civil war is wrong in any kind of instance, because that's us killing people of your own, your brothers and sisters. That's what happened. That war there took more American lives than all the rest of them.
I think they said that the death toll was somewhere around 750,000 or something like that. Is that correct?
I don't know. All I know is that they killed more Americans in that war than all the rest of them. And if I'm not mistaken, it may be combined. I don't know that for a fact, but I think I read that. I could be mistaken, though.
I believe it. I heard the number that it was around 750,000. And you think that it t take the population of America at that time? It wasn't, it was in the millions. I'm sure,
Yeah,
but
well,
it
it was.
wasn't. That's quite a bunch.
And mostly young men. And that's I wonder how long it took them to get over all of that. It's a long time, I suspect.
And the interesting thing about it was that the spiritual stirring that I believe motivated that thing was the Christians praying ag against the evil of slavery at that time, because that started way back, early 1800s is when the movement started to kick up, and it was all because Christians were, coming together and praying, specifically for those things, So amazing.
Yeah, there was a lot of nasty stuff went on after the war, and that the Union did also to the Confederates and to the Southern states, I should say, because they were devastated. Some of them went home to burned out houses. You know how war is. What was the name of that? They called him the guy from the north. He come in, and act stupid.
Carpetbaggers.
Yeah, carpetbaggers. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember that name.
That and Yankees. That
Yankees.
named that when I first
Where'd that name originate from?
I don't know, Yankee Doodle Dandy or something like that.
Probably,
I don't know.
probably, probably. I
I don't know.
don't know.
When I'm from Oregon originally, and obviously we were out west, weren't connected. I don't even think we were connected to that whole thing. But I never really knew like Yankees and Rebs, that whole thing. I wasn't really into that, but I remember when I went down to West Texas. I was working down there, and they called me a Yankee. I thought, Yankee? Where'd they come up with that? Took me a little while being in the culture down there to see, what a Yankee was, So anyway.
Do you know what a Yankee is as far as a Southerner is concerned?
I don't know.
Somebody that lives above the Mason-Dixon line.
Really?
Yeah.
And so there's
Location,
nothing. There's
location, location, location.
no. What? Oh, man.
Location, location, location. It's all about location. Where are you? And that's how they identify you as something. I've heard people, down call me a Californian and everything. Like, yeah, those Californians, but I'm not a Californian. Not, this is not my home.
Well, you know what's interesting, Julie, about the South is somebody from Texas doesn't sound like somebody from Arkansas, and somebody from Georgia doesn't sound like somebody from Tennessee. And it's a different dialect, a different, I don't know, culture. I don't know. It's all. And then you say the same thing up above the Mason-Dixon line. Somebody from New York or Brooklyn doesn't sound like somebody from Pennsylvania. Ain't
Or
nobody
New
sounds like from
Jersey,
Brooklyn.
yeah, or New Jersey, and they're
And New
all different
Jersey,
dialects. They're all different dialects.
Massachusetts is different. The Midwest is different. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
So, someone in your family could have a different accent?
If they live in another state, yeah.
Do they just pick it up, or? Because I sometimes, find myself maybe speaking some southern words there, with the drawl and all, we've got something similar up in Canada if you're from Newfoundland. That's where they roll their words. Anyway.
I don't know nobody that rolls his words, for goodness sake.
I remember when my because my wife is from Columbus, Ohio, and there I swear I've never seen people talk. They talk together, hold a conversation and talk together, and they both talk at the same time. It just blows me away. But anyway, when she went down to Houston, and talking to some people, and it was, and this shows you the difference. She was talking to this older guy, and he was just standing there looking at her, and she was talking at him. And he finally said, "Slow down, girl. You talk too fast."
Debbie ain't never heard that, have you, Debbie? Now you talk about somebody
That's funny.
that sounds like a, she sounds like a 45 on a 78 speed.
Not that bad.
Oh.
But I wanted to say that when we moved to Arkansas when I was a kid, we were only there for 2 years. But kids at school, the boys mainly were calling me, kept calling me a Yankee. Yankee, you Yankee, you're just a Yankee. We're from Illinois, to Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
So
Yeah, you would be
I
called a
have that.
Yankee.
Yeah.
What part of you went to Hot Springs? You lived in Hot Springs, didn't
Yes.
you? Okay. Yeah, that's a great place.
I will have to
Almost.
say, yeah, I'll have to say though, coming from the north and traveling so long down through the South, I got to stay in, places down in the South for 3 or 4 months at a time, and then we'd move to another. The southern part of the United States is much more relaxed and calm, and they like up in the north, everything is a pressure cooker. It's like living in constant pressure. Down south, it's more relaxed, and the people are just so more calm and peaceful and happy down there, So it's different. They talk different, and they also act different, which is pretty cool.
I've noticed the way you talk, Pat. Are you from the Midwest? That's the accent
Well,
that
no,
I
I'm from the
picked.
West. I'm from the West,
What?
Oregon, Northern
Oregon.
California.
Okay, well, that's
Yeah,
something.
we actually pronounce it Oregon there, not Oregon.
What's wrong with Oregon?
It's wrong.
Okay, Oregon. Yeah, I can generally pick somebody from the West or the Midwest over and above people from the East, Northeast. People from the Northeast just, and where are you from, Debbie? I never have figured out. Are you from Illinois?
Yes, I'm Illinois.
See how
You're
fast you did
Chicago.
it? Yeah, I'm from Illinois.
Pardon? Oh, I am from Illinois. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I wonder. Yeah, they talk fast up there. That's because them ice cubes
Yeah, they
coming
do.
down those, that ice cubes coming off of that big lake up there. I gotta talk fast and dodge those big ice cubes. Debbie, that's the
Andrew
coldest
knows
I've ever
about
been.
that.
I've never been so cold in my life as when I went to Chicago one winter. To that what's that Mid-America convention center. I had a big electronic thing there I had to go to. But anyway, they had great big icebergs floating around out there in that great big lake out there. And the wind coming off that lake would cut you into. I didn't. You could put 14 coats on. It didn't make any difference. It would cut right through them, man. Whew, that was the worst time. I was so glad to get back to Arkansas where it was decent weather. Well, that was my little trip to Chicago, the only time, and probably the only time I ever go, unless the Lord gets me there.
Never say never.
Well, I know, that's what I say, unless the Lord, you know. Winters in the Midwest can be pretty tough. Yeah, I've heard that. I've seen pictures. Yeah, it got down to freezing one time in Arkansas. No, it's been, I've seen it below zero there before. Hey, we're out of time. Praise God. I thought we had a good time tonight. Not th no, y'all, look at y'all. Y'all taking that the wrong way. For goodness. Lord, I thank you for straightening these people out.
How'd you mean it?
I said, praise God. I was not
You never think of thanks.
Okay. Y'all caught me, didn't you? All right. Lord, I thank you for a wonderful night tonight. I've enjoyed
Heard
it.
you talk so fast, Michael.
Let's see, where's my mute button? Thank you, Lord, for a good night tonight. Praise God. Y'all be blessed, you hear?